Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility presents The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman, exploring ideas with innovators, change makers, business leaders, politicians, and activists. This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is underwritten in part by the Alchemist Brewery of Waterbury and Stowe, a proud B Corp using the power of business to support a clean environment and economic opportunity for all. Green Mountain Power, delivering clean, cost-effective, and highly reliable power to customers and offering cutting-edge products and services to reduce costs and carbon. UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. Stowe Cider, with crisp, clean, and creative award-winning flavors. Visit the tasting room in Stowe or buy Stowe Cider throughout New England, upstate New York, and Washington, D.C. Let's Grow Kids, a statewide campaign about the need for more high-quality, affordable child care in Vermont to better support our children, families, communities, and economy. Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, ski erg, and bike erg, and proud to support nonprofit groups such as Salvation Farms, which nourishes Vermont by distributing produce that farmers can't sell, as well as nearly 700 VBSR business members who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit. Learn more at www.vbsr.org. Welcome to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. And a special welcome back to Pitts Quattrone, our producer, who has been out resting up and healing for the last couple of months. Pitts, it's great to have you back on the producer's side, a talented local musician, DJ, and everything else, a man of many talents. Welcome back, Pitts.
Thanks, David. It's great to be here, believe me. Be here in this building, on this station, and on this planet.
Oh, good. Well, on to today's show. Later in the show, we'll be speaking with Senate Majority Leader Becca Ballant about what's going on in the State House and Vermont's historic new abortion rights legislation that has been passed by the legislature. But first, do the rich pay enough in taxes? Self-described patriotic millionaire Alan Davis says no. The patriotic millionaires are a group of more than 200 individuals with annual incomes over $1 million and or assets over $5 million who are committed to raising the minimum wage, combating the influence of big money in politics, and advancing a progressive tax structure. Davis says that Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez don't go far enough in their various proposals to address growing inequality. He proposes a 10% surtax on all income over $2 million, as well as other ideas. Alan Davis, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So let's begin with your own story. How did you become a millionaire and then a patriotic millionaire?
Well, I'm one of those trust fund babies. So my parents were very successful business people, and they were kind enough, generous enough to provide me with resources really at an early age. And so I guess I've had a particular perspective on what it's like to be a trust fund baby, but also I went into business and have a pretty good idea of what it is to earn money. So I have a perspective that's I think fairly rounded, and for one thing's for sure, I'm very much convinced that rich people are not paying their fair share of taxes.
So why are you calling for people like yourself to pay more taxes? Why not just, you know, buy a second or third or fourth home and right, let bygones be bygones?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons, but the bottom line is that I think if wealthy people paid their fair share of taxes, everybody would be better off. And basically, that's what we are. We're a society for the common good. And if we want the common good, then everybody needs to pay their fair share. And the folks that have been getting away with not doing that are this very small slice of people, the top 0.1% of taxpayers. These are people who earn over $2 million a year. And it's time for them to contribute in a meaningful way.
What is the problem? Outline, what you see as the key, the aspects of inequality that you find most troubling.
Well, there are two different ways of looking at this. One is the income side and one is the wealth side. The income is what leads to wealth. So my interest is in dealing with income. And what's happening is that ever since the early 80s, when Ronald Reagan passed his tax laws, we dropped the top tax rates dramatically. And that led to a massive accumulation of wealth and income. So today, this small group of people, this 0.1% of people, have a total income of over $1 trillion. Now, it's hard for people to get their heads around a trillion because that's a lot of zeros. It's 12 zeros. But what we need to do is figure out how to take some of that money and move it over to the common good. This 0.1% spend about $100 billion a year on luxury items. They're spending $10 billion a year on yachts, $10 billion on cars, $10 billion on art. And it seems to me that we can all agree that our country would be better off if some of that money were spent on early childhood education or providing drinking water for the 60 million people who don't have access to it. So it's a simple matter. And actually, this is the fundamental problem, that what we've managed to do is to make taxes seem very complicated. And so it is difficult to get the kind of support from the public and politicians to pass meaningful tax reform. What we're trying to do right now is to make this simple and direct. A 10%, I think we can all understand what a 10% tax would be. We know what incomes over $2 million looks like. And if we applied that 10% tax on incomes over $2 million, we'd raise $75 billion a year, $75 billion, which is enough money to provide every child with free child care and early childhood education. So the question really becomes simple. Do we want people to be having more yachts and second and third homes? Or do we want to provide for every child in the United States?
So put this in personal terms, because, people don't really know what the, millionaires and billionaires pay in taxes. What are the taxes that you pay now, and what would your proposal mean for you?
Right. So on average, and I would say I'm somewhat average, we pay about 25% of our income in taxes. So, if you're earning $2 million, you'd be paying about $500,000. So what we're suggesting is that, okay, let's say that's the case and you've earned $2 million. On every additional dollar you earn, you're going to pay an additional 10 cents on the dollar in taxes. So instead of paying 25 cents, you're now going to pay 35 cents. And that means you're still keeping 65 cents on the dollar above $2 million in income, which should be more than enough for most people to live extremely comfortably and possibly even still get a second home. Of course, that's only the lower end of the 0.1%. If we move up, we're talking about a situation. I still find this hard to really understand, to believe, but a typical person gets up in the morning, goes to work, and earns $15 or $20 or $30 an hour if they're lucky. Bill Gates sits at home in his pajamas and earns $1 million per hour. There's something wrong with that picture. And we're trying to take a first step in making some corrections that we think are good for everybody.
So what kind of reception, and they're just, you know, there are some amazing facts that if you look at inequality.org is one website that sort of paints the various pictures of inequality. One that jumps out at me is that is three men own as much as the bottom half of all Americans, and those three men include the one you just mentioned, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon and owner of the Washington Post, and Warren Buffett, the president of Berkshire Hathaway Fund.
Right.
I mean, that's just
it's just incredible. It's astounding.
So, Patriotic Millionaires, tell us a little bit about this organization that you're part of.
Well, I think you you mentioned in the opening that we're a group of people who, like myself, are very fortunate in one way or another, and believe that our country as a whole would be much better off if there was more equality. I mean, all the research has shown that more equal societies do better in terms of health care, they do better in terms of education, they have fewer social problems. There's a whole series of metrics that suggest that we'd be better off if we had a more equal society. So we just believe we should be promoting that, and whether it be, a lot of work is in trying to provide the floor, to provide, minimum wage rules. But really the problem is, in my view, is at the top end. And what happens is that we, people who don't want the rich to pay more taxes have two techniques that basically keeps the public in the dark. One is they try to make taxes seem complicated. So people don't really understand, at least I don't understand, what the carried interest loophole is all about or what mark-to-market capital gains taxation would be. But we do understand what a surtax is, what a tax is. It's a 10% tax. It's very simple. The other thing that is done is that we confuse or conflate the 1%, the top 1%, with the top 0.1%. And that's a huge difference. The 1% are people who earn $400,000. And, these are obviously they're doing well, but they're not rich like people who earn $1 million or $5 million or $25 million a year. And if we stay focused on the 0.1% and that $1 trillion that they're taking home, I think we can make a significant difference, both in terms of inequality and funding some of the programs that we all want to see.
So you have been critical of the plans put forth by Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You say they don't go far enough. Tell us what you mean.
Yeah, I guess I would rephrase that now. It's not that they don't go far enough. It's that they're aspirational, but they're not going to get the job done. And I think the time has come for us to get the job done. So, for example, the AOC proposal, our proposal raises the same amount of money as the AOC proposal. But when people talk about a 70% tax rate, it scares off a lot of people.
Just explain what it is that Ocasio-Cortez is.
Yeah, so she's proposing a marginal tax rate of 70% on incomes over $10 million. So she's, in other words, not making any changes to the taxes on people earning, as in our case, between $2 million and $10 million. And that frankly doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But secondly, when she talks about a 70% rate, and it's not that I'm against a 70% rate, but that's not a battle we need to fight right now. What we need to do is figure out how can we effectively move money from the $1 trillion that's sitting in the hands of the 0.1% to the common good, and do it in a way that doesn't disrupt the economy. And so it's not that it's a bad proposal necessarily. It's just a distraction from getting the job done. And similarly, the wealth tax is another, I think it's a compelling idea, but it's not going to happen anytime soon for a whole number of reasons. First of all, it's a new idea. People have to sort out how we can administer it. There's debates about whether it's constitutional or not, and I have great fear that with this Supreme Court, even if we thought it was constitutional, they might rule otherwise. So I want to stay focused on a policy that we could actually get on board with now and start to make a difference in addressing the problems that we're facing.
You're listening to the Vermont Conversation. We're speaking with Alan Davis. He is part of a group of high net worth individuals called the Patriotic Millionaires. If you want to join this conversation, you can call at 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. Alan, so some people listening might think, well, look, you know, why don't you just donate money, you know, right? Money to the U.S. Treasury or give away more money in philanthropy? And how do you respond to them?
Well, this is, I think, one of the great cover-ups, which is you know, you've been reading lately about all these great philanthropists, these rich philanthropists who are doing all these wonderful things. I don't think it should be left up to an individual rich person to decide which colleges they're going to provide debt-free college to, or which university they're going to give money to, or which hospital, or which disease is going to be addressed. I think that's an issue that, for the most part, our government should be able to decide through a democratic process. Now, I'm not against having some philanthropy. I'm all for philanthropy. But what I am against is this extreme philanthropy that the very rich use as a way of buying good press so that people do not go after the fact that they're too rich, that they have too much money. And this is a major concern of mine. On the issue of universal surrender, it doesn't make any sense. It's something that we should get everybody to do. It doesn't make sense for me to contribute more to the government, just give it to the government, and have this billionaire class not have to pay their fair share of taxes. We need everybody to contribute. And I think there's a certain poetry in the fact that those of us who are traitors to our class are using our money to try to fix that system.
Do you get fellow millionaires who, in fact, call you a traitor?
Well, I think it's a badge of honor that that those of us who are, like, in the Patriotic Millionaires, we wear. But, yeah, I think there's you'll see the press, I see it on Fox News a lot, where they refer to this as class warfare and, you know, we're the traitors to our class. And we are definitely singling out the uber rich. There's no question about that, but there's a good reason for it. It's because they are uber rich, and they have the ability to make a greater contribution to our society.
So of the people who are running for president on the Democratic side, who do you like in terms of who do you think's kind of
had the most interesting or promising approach to dealing with inequality?
I think, I don't have a front-runner candidate, but I do admire Bernie and Elizabeth Warren for being courageous in going after the very powerful interests of the rich. So I admire that. At the same time, though, I am hopeful that we can rally support for the simple idea of a 10% surtax on the top 0.1%, because it's an idea that will begin to address the problem, and it's something that we all can understand, and that will lead, I think, to discussions about other ways in which we might reform our tax laws.
It's one of the interesting things that I find interesting about your idea. As you mentioned, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talking about a 70% tax on people over $10 million. Just from a marketing point of view, your proposal, 10% surtax, sounds much more achievable than, proposing a 70% tax. And you're saying your proposal actually gets you more money.
They have this thing called scoring of proposals. It's kind of a funny notion, but they figure out how much money you can, reasonably expect to get from various tax proposals. And we're basically at the same number, give or take, $5 or $10 billion.
So are you having any success in advancing any of these, your ideas to address inequality and have the rich pay their fair share?
I think we are having success. We are getting much more attention from the media on the proposal, and we are having a very significant conference next month in Washington to discuss these issues. We're engaged in a number of conversations with politicians, elected representatives, to consider taking on this proposal. And with luck, we're going to have a bill introduced sometime in the next couple of months. So we're hopeful.
Out of curiosity, the President Trump's tax cuts, talk about the effect that it's had on you. We hear that there's very little in it for middle class and lower, and working class people, but that it's essentially the biggest benefits go to the wealthiest. How about for you?
There's a direct and indirect impact. So I live in California, so the direct impact is that my taxes have gone up, which is because of, they eliminated something called the SALT, which is the state and local tax deduction. Mm-hmm. And we pay very high taxes in California. So the net effect of that is that I actually pay a higher tax. The indirect effect is that it's lowered the corporate tax rate. So in theory, I will benefit from that because the value of my investments will go up. So it cuts sort of both ways. But I think it's important to keep in mind that before the Trump tax cuts, we had massive income inequality in this country. So just going back to where we were before doesn't get at the problem. And this is what I was trying to express before, which is that we should stay focused on what the problem is. The problem is the top 0.1%. And what we should be doing is focusing a tax that deals with that directly and only on that 0.1%. And that's what we're trying to do. That 10% surtax is only on the uber rich. And rather than getting distracted by debating whether a corporate tax should be higher or lower and whether it affects employees or not, or discussing other proposals that end up taxing the 1% as well as the 0.1%, we should stay focused. 10% on incomes over $2 million, raises $75 billion, and then let's figure out how to spend that money, whether it be for providing water for people who don't have access to it, or we could fund free college education for half of the students enrolled in college, or we could do a $500 rebate to people. I mean, there are all kinds of options that are worthwhile, significantly more valuable than jewelry and yachts and $250 million apartments.
Okay, well, I want to thank you, Alan Davis, for joining us this week on the Vermont Conversation.
Well, thank you so much.
Alan Davis is a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. It's a group of high net worth individuals, millionaires and up, who are working to raise the minimum wage, combat the influence of big money in politics, and advance progressive tax structure. You're listening to the Vermont Conversation. We're going to take a short break for the news, and after we come back, we'll speak with Vermont Senate Majority Leader Becca Ballant about the historic abortion rights law that has just passed the state legislature. I'm David Goodman. We'll be right back.